Well, it's time to spend some time in God's Word this morning. And last week we looked at the example of Paul in Philippi as an example of a person who was filled with God's Spirit. And we're going to be going on from that today and leading on from there. And it's good. Someone's joined, another person's joined our mighty network. Well done, Counterbaptist.Church. Thank you for that. Please keep those joining things happening. Alrighty. And we looked at that as an example of a person, Paul as a person who was filled with the Spirit. And one of the key things about him was that he heard God speak to him. And he's in Acts chapter 16, verse 6. They were traveling throughout Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by this Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed to Bithynia and down to Troas, and then Paul had a vision at night, a dream, and that was God speaking to him about going over to Philippi. And so he did. And so this is part of Paul's experience, was that he had a two-way communicating relationship with God. And that can be, inspiring and interesting. But sometimes we can think, yeah, but that's okay for Paul. Like, he was an apostle. He was a person that wrote most of the New Testament. What about for the rest of us? And so I just want to spend some time today, just reflecting on the whole process of hearing God. And you might be a person who is really experienced at hearing God, or you might be a person who thinks, oh, I've never heard God, or I don't even know if I can, or I don't even know how I could get, or maybe I have, I'm not sure, but it's something I'd like to do, but I'm not sure how to go about it. So we're just going to spend a few minutes together about that, and some of our mid-sized gatherings after that might have some further place for discussion. But first of all, I guess I wanted to just start with the example of Jesus. And in Mark chapter 1, and we've talked about this in our church before, Jesus is baptized, and part of the reason Jesus is baptized is he's setting an example for us, the way that we respond to God and respond to God's kingdom. And in chapter 1, Jesus goes on to say, the time has come, the kingdom of God has come near. Change your thinking and change your acting. Repent and believe the good news. And then Jesus is going along by the lake, and as Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. And we can just sort of gloss over that when we hear, oh, come follow me. That means, oh, they just tag around. But that actually had a deeper meaning there. Jesus was asking them into, inviting them into a master-apprentice relationship. To follow meant that they would learn to be like him, that they would copy him, that they would learn to do the things that Jesus himself did. And so it's not just a matter of them being people who tagged around after Jesus, but they are people who actively learnt from Jesus how to do the sort of things and how to be the sort of person that Jesus was. And then one of the great riches of John's gospel, and we looked at John's gospel in a series last year, is the insight it gives us to what Jesus' relationship with his heavenly Father. And there's a few verses, for example, in John chapter 5, verse 19, it says this: very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees the Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. So we see here this incredibly close relationship between the Father and the Son, where Jesus sees what his Father is doing, and that enables him to do the same thing. And if we go over to John chapter 8, verse 28, it says this. So Jesus said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I'm he, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. And so again, we see here not only Jesus seeing what the Father is doing, but he hears what the Father is saying. And over in chapter 12, verse 49, he says this: for I did not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me to say all that I have spoken. And so here, this is another clear insight into the fact that Jesus had clear communication with his heavenly Father. But here's the amazing thing. Over in John chapter 17, Jesus prays for his disciples, but he also prays for us. His prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. That includes us. And I pray that they may be one, just as you are in me and I am in you. See, so the following Jesus and becoming like Jesus was not just for the first 12 disciples that walked around after Jesus. It was for all Christians through all time, for them to enter into a relationship with God, and Jesus modeled what that was like. And so Jesus said, you know, my sheep hear my voice. In John chapter 10, verse 27, my sheep listen to my voice, I know them, and they follow me. And as we are followers of Jesus, God's intention is that every one of us hears God speaking to us. That's what Jesus' experience was. That's what Paul's experience was. That's what Jesus called the disciples into. And at the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit was poured out on everybody, Peter explained what's happening is that this was a fulfillment of the prophecy, Joel, that God said, in those days, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and sons and daughters will prophesy. Now, prophecy is just hearing what God says and repeating it. And so sons and daughters, everyone, if you're a son or a daughter, you get to hear from God for yourself and for others. And there's great benefits to that. You just read through the book of Acts, and we've already seen how in Acts chapter 16 that God's speaking helped direct Paul in his ministry. But earlier on in Acts, there's an example where God spoke through some prophetic people and warned of a drought that was going to come. And so they were able to organize and send assistance to people who were going to be in need. And another time, Paul was going to go to Jerusalem, and God, by his Spirit, was warning him that he'd face difficulties and trials along the way, you see, as he engaged with the authorities and rulers there. So there are great benefits for us to be in this dynamic, interactive, two-way relationship with God, where we hear God and we speak to God. But sometimes it can be a bit frustrating, can't it? It's like, well, that seems okay. Other people go, oh, yeah, God said this, or I heard God say that, or I think God might be saying this. And when we just sit back and we go, huh, what? How does that work? That never happened to me. I don't know that God speak to me. We can feel that's beyond us, or it's outside of our experience. And hopefully I've, first of all, in our short discussion to this point, demonstrated that everyone getting to hear from our Heavenly Father is God's intention for us. God is not partial in that he speaks to only some of his children and not to others of his children. But there are some people who seem to hear God more clearly. And sometimes that's because God's wired them that way. Sometimes that's because they've spent a lot of time practicing and learning to hear God. Because that's the thing, right? Every mode of communication that you have, where you receive information from other people or hear from other people or learn from other people, was something that you learned. You learned to speak English so you could understand other people when they spoke English to you. You learned to speak whatever other language that you might be able to speak, whether it's Spanish or Chinese or ancient Greek or whatever it is. It's a communication mode that you learned. Those of you that communicate through and use computers, you learn to understand what the symbols mean. So you could, yes, that's a printer symbol, or that's a file save symbol, or whatever else. So these symbols are things that we learn to recognize, you see. When we were born, we didn't know what they meant. When we were born, we didn't know that the sounds were actually words and that those words contain meaning. But we learned them over time. And it's exactly the same for us with listening to God. It's a learning process. No one just gets, all of a sudden, they hear God clearly without having to go through the learning process. And even for those of us who seem like we can hear God pretty clearly, I want to challenge you. There's more for you to learn yet. There's more for you to grow into yet. You haven't got it all yet. There's more accurate or sharper or more detailed or more profound things for you to be able to hear and learn from God. Because And I've mentioned this several times before that the classic example of this is Samuel, and 1 Samuel chapter 3. He was a young boy. He was in the tent of meeting, and he heard a voice calling to him. And Samuel thought it was the priest Eli calling to him, and so he was so convinced of that he got up from his bed and went to Eli and said, "Yes, you called for me." And Eli said, "No, I didn't go back to bed." And this happened three times, and Eli finally recognized, actually, no, what this young boy is hearing is he's hearing God. And so Eli then said, "Okay," told Samuel, "go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, your servant is listening.'" And then Samuel, that was the entry point for Samuel into a long life of listening to God and repeating what God says. It's a matter of learning for everyone. It doesn't matter whether you've been a Christian for a long time or if you're not even a Christian yet. We can all enter into the process of beginning to learn to recognize God. So how can we do that? Well, there's a pretty standard advice, and that is to read the Bible. Why? Well, because when you read the Bible, you may not recognize it at the time, but what you're actually doing is you're becoming familiar with the sorts of things that God tends to say to people. Now, it's just like, you know, if I was going to learn Spanish, and I attempted to learn some Spanish when I went to visit Mark and Anna in Peru, not very well, mind you, but one of the things that I did was I spent time using some language learning apps and learning phrases that people sometimes say in Spanish. So that when I met a Spanish speaker and they said that phrase, I might have the chance to recognize it and understand what it meant. And so the Bible, if nothing else, includes accounts of people's interaction with God. And so the more familiar with it we are with what's in the Bible, and particularly in the life of Jesus and how he interacted with people, but also the Psalms and many other places, the more as we learn the sorts of things that God tends to say and the way that God tends to say it, then we that's just the way we learn to communicate in any language mode. And so that is a great place to start. But the scriptures can also give us examples of what it's actually like. And sometimes we don't, some of these passages are in books that we don't necessarily read that often, but maybe we should read them. And they're the prophetic books because, yes, they're prophets who speak on God's behalf, and they announce, you know, all these things about what God's going to, good news or bad news, judgment or salvation or whatever else. But there are also in these books, there are insights into how these people learn to hear God. For example, at the beginning of Zechariah, it says this in chapter 1, "In the 8th month of the 2nd year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Zechariah, son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo. And we can just gloss over that. Let's just pause for a moment. And it says, the word of the Lord came to the prophet. And that's actually useful information about how God speaks. You see, it doesn't matter whichever way anybody speaks to you. The way it ends up is with a thought in your mind. You know, if you're watching the TV and someone speaks on the TV, then the TV turns into, its speaker, noise comes out of its speaker, that vibrates the air, that vibrates your eardrums, and your brain interprets that. And whatever the person on the TV was saying ends up being a thought in your mind. In fact, what I'm saying to you now ends up as a thought in your mind. And sometimes, it doesn't even need to be, words that the whole room hears because you've got headphones on. Like I've got headphones on and nobody else can hear what's coming from the TV or the computer or whatever else, but you can. But whichever way the communication happens, it ends up as a thought in your mind. And most of us, I think, if we pause and think, well, yeah, there's times when a thought has just come to me. It just came to me. Now, I'm not saying, please really hear me on this. I'm not saying that every time a thought just randomly comes to me, that I'm saying that's God. Because it's not. Sometimes it's something that we've remembered. Sometimes it's we've been wrestling with some idea and we just received a moment of clarity. Sometimes it's a thought that someone else has suggested in some way. But sometimes it's also God. The thoughts that come to us are sometimes also God. Now, how do we learn which ones are just, which ones are God and which ones are because we had, you know, a pizza last night? Well, the short answer again is by experience. The longer answer is by reflecting on the process and talking with people and looking at the scriptures. Now, if I was learning, relearning to understand Spanish, then, you know, I mean, I heard a phrase like, was that phrase this? I might go to my phrase book and look it up. I might speak to someone else who was a more experienced Spanish speaker than me and say, is this what they said? It's exactly the same as we learn to hear God. We might say, okay, I think that might have been God. Let me check the Bible. Is that the sort of thing that God might say? Let me check with some people who seem to be more experienced than me in hearing God, and I'll send it to them, and I'll share it with them, and they can I'll get their advice, and then I can reflect back on what happens to me, or what happens as a result of the thought that comes to me. Yes, from God, I follow through and I respond to it, and some surprising things happen. Wow. Where I reflect on the quality of it. Was that thought a thought that induced, came with it a sense of authority and calmness? Or was it a thought that came to me with striving and fear? Now, it's anxiety producing, probably not God. Because we know 365 times in the Bible it says, God says, do not be afraid. And so God's word comes to us. And now that we are aware of that, we can be looking for that. We can be on the, you know, have our antennas up to see when that happens. And we're not, it's not a guarantee. Is it God? Maybe it is. But and there's a way that I can then begin to reflect on that and enter into that. Here's another interesting one. You know, you might think, well, you know, at church, people sometimes share prophetic words and they say, I see a picture of this and all that sort of thing. And you think, well, how do you get there? Well, again, if you read in the beginning of Jeremiah, God, it seems, actually takes Jeremiah through this process himself. And in chapter 1, verse 11, it says, the word of the Lord came to me. See, again, came to me. But this time it says, what do you see, Jeremiah? What do you see? And Jeremiah says, I see the branch of an almond tree. And the Lord said to me, you have seen correctly, for I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled. And then again, the word of the Lord came to me again. What do you see? I see a pot that is boiling, I answered. It is tilting towards us from the north. And the Lord says, from the north, disaster will be poured out. And here, my guess is that Jeremiah's eyes were probably closed at that point, and God saying, "Well, what do you see?" And these pictures come to his mind, and then God says, "Actually, that's right. That's actually from me, and this is what it means." And if you're going to start seeing things from God, God giving you prophetic pictures like that, it'll happen. Something like that, you see. Now, you and I probably aware of people that have gone up, seen, you know, done wacky things or claimed to have heard from God in certain ways or whatever else, and it's led to disaster or it's been just been weird. And there's no doubt that people can misuse, can have mistakes and can misuse this whole process. But that's not, that we shouldn't let that deter us and from trying to engage with it. No. Just because someone speaks Spanish incorrectly or makes mistakes or uses it to manipulate people doesn't mean that I shouldn't try and learn Spanish so I can communicate with Spanish speakers. What I should do is I should do it in a careful way and an intentional way. And there are really two things I just want to leave for us. Firstly, if we're going to hear from God, let's always treat it provisionally. Let's not go, thus says the Lord, David, that's why I said you should do this. No, let's always hold it provisionally. Let's say, God, I think God might be saying. Because that then gives space for us to reflect and gives other space for other people to reflect and say, actually, no, that might not be God. You might have made a mistake that time in hearing from God. And the second thing is we really want to, and we've talked about this in our church, we want to make sure we separate revelation from interpretation from application. No, this is what God's saying, this is what it means, and this is what I should do. Especially if we're speaking prophetic words to other people, it's our job to give the revelation, maybe a bit of the interpretation, but it's often the person that's receiving the prophetic word who gets to interpret it, and it's always the people receiving who get to do the application. It's never me saying to you, God's told me to tell you that you need to do X. We always need to separate revelation from interpretation from application. And when we do that, and when we hold these things provisionally and are open to discernment and correction and sharing them with each other, we will avoid most of the pitfalls that can cause damage, and we will enter into the great joy and the great fruit of hearing from God for ourselves and for others. And so we're going to finish our time together before we go into our mid-sized gatherings and small gatherings in different Zoom calls. We're just going to have a small moment now for each one of us to be like Samuel, where he was advised by Eli, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." And so I just invite you to close your eyes, minimize as many distractions as you can, focus on Jesus. Being aware of Jesus being with you in the room with you right where you are. Looking in his face, which is full of delight towards you. Looking at him and just saying, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." Father, I thank you for our time together today. I thank you, God, that we are your children and that you speak to us. And I pray for each one of us, God, that in some way this week that we would grow a little bit more our expertise and experience in hearing you for ourselves and for others. May we know the blessing of walking in interactive relationship with you. In your name we pray. Amen.